Okay, great. So this is the fellowship-wide call for HIP, and we are recording our call today, and let's see. We have everybody muted, and we will begin with several speakers from the HIP committee. But before we begin, if you would like to unmute, press star 6 and say the serenity prayer with us. God,
grant me the serenity.
To accept the things we cannot change, the courage to face the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Okay. Now I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody again. Okay, so we are, today's fellowship-wide call is on hospitals, institutions, and prisons, and it is presented by the committee that puts the hospitals, institutions, and prisons information out there. The mission statement of hospitals, institutions, and prisons is that Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee carries the message of DA to the debtor who still suffers within hospital, institution, and prison system. The Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee utilizes the debtor's anonymous HIP starter kit and other DA service literature available to the entire DA fellowship as a tool for outreach efforts and supports and trains HIP representatives as guided by the 12 traditions of Debtors Anonymous. So to talk about our experience and strength and hopes with the HIP, some of our members are going to talk for, I think 5 minutes each, and there's going to be five of us all together. So our first speaker is Laura, and she's in South Carolina. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I guess so. Okay, yes. Just want to make sure. I'm Laura, and I'm a grateful compulsive debtor, and my solvency date is November 6, 2014. And I'm really grateful to be a compulsive debtor and to have Debtors Anonymous. This is the last program, most recent program that I joined. I had familiarity with other 12-step programs, but I was not familiar with DA when I realized that I was struggling with debt. And I don't want to talk a whole bunch about my debting, but I just need to say that before I started really working Debtors Anonymous, I owed $129,000 in school debt. I owed about $44,000 in credit card debt. I owed the IRS $22,000, and I was taking out payday loans to make ends meet, and I was working up to 4 jobs, and I still never had enough money and went minus in my account. And all I can say is my higher power has worked miracles in my life. I am now retired. I've been retired for 4 years, and the only debt I have is my house and my car, which is secured debt. And that's a miracle today. And I learned early in the program that you have to give it away in order to keep it. And I chose and wanted to be a general service representative. I was a general service representative of one meeting last year, and I changed to a different meeting, and I'm their rep now. But I wanted to be able to give it away and to share my experience, strength, and hope. I was a nurse my whole career. I've been a nurse for 41 years, and I was aware that the healthcare professionals are not familiar with Debtors Anonymous. They don't know about it. If people have financial crises in their life, they'll send them to an accountant or somebody to help them with budgets. And budgets never work for me. It's not just about the debting. It's all about not feeling like I have enough. And so I wanted to carry the message to hospitals specifically, since I was a nurse and I saw the effects of financial devastation on people. I mean, people die. They have heart attacks. They have strokes. They commit suicide, and there's no counseling within the healthcare facilities. So I went about collecting all the names of all the hospitals in South Carolina and North Carolina. There's only one meeting in South Carolina, by the way, and going about contacting them. And I found that if I could somehow get to the EAP, Employee Assistance Program, those are the people that provide support to most of the staff. And it is a challenge calling person after person after person to get the right one who can help you. But by the grace of God, I have been able to carry the message. And a good example is I was able to contact the EAP for Shriners Hospital, and there are 22 different Shriner hospitals in this country. And now they have all the information on Debtors Anonymous, and they plan on sharing it with their counselors so the counselors can share it with the staff. I also was able to contact EAP, that it turned out that it is the major EAP covered by South Carolina Insurance, and they eagerly wanted the information to assist their clients. MUSC is the major medical center of South Carolina, and I was able to talk to their EAP, who now has the information. They have several different hospitals and clinics, and they plan on utilizing it to assist their staff. And I got to speak to somebody that's in the Psych Institute, who is very interested in carrying that message to their clients in the psych facility. And there are many, many others that I have been able to reach out to. And I'm so grateful. What they do with it is not my business. I carry the message. I'm also made up a list of the major support groups and brochures. I'm passing them out to churches for pastors to be able to use, and then also to homeless facilities. I work with the homeless, so we have a resource list for them and how to get in touch. And again, you have to give it away to keep it, and I am so grateful to be of service, and I just love being part of HIP. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, that was Laura. Thank you, Laura. let's see. Our next speaker is Shauna from New York. Shauna, press star 6 and take it away.
Thank you. I'm Shauna in Brooklyn, New York. I came into DA on April Fool's Day, 1994. I've been in for 28 years, and I've been solvent for the past 12 years. The reason that I was attracted to the HIP committee is because my personal experience with people in hospitals, institutions, and prisons. The first person that I met had been in jail and prison upstate New York. He had been born and raised in Harlem, dropped out of school at the seventh grade, and started selling drugs to make money. And in prison is when he actually learned how to read and write, got his GED, and when he came out, he got a job as an office manager at a big nonprofit, and that's where I was working and where I met him. The next person was a fellow in this program, and he went to a prison in upstate New York for embezzlement, and he became solvent in prison. He decided, after we would go up and we'd give him pressure relief meetings and we would visit him and bring him literature, that he was going to try to start a DA meeting in that facility. So he went through a lot of hoops, but he talked to the warden and the administration and was granted permission to host a weekly DA meeting at this facility. So that was the first one in a federal prison as far as I'm aware of. During COVID, there have been many, many people that I've known, some who have died and some who have still have effects from the virus, long-term effects, which of course has affected their families financially. And it is heartbreaking to see people that need critical medical attention, and then when they come out of the hospital, if they do, that they have a ton of medical bills. Also during this pandemic, my daughter, who's a dancer, had to close her dancing school a year ago and has not worked since. She's a performer, and there were no performances all this time. And the last one was a halfway house in Brooklyn started by AA, and a meeting that was brought by someone in both of these programs. And he asked me to come and speak because a lot of them were getting ready to transition to a full-time job or their own housing, and they were anxious. You know, how am I going to make money? What am I going to do? This is, you know, overwhelming. So I spoke, and a lot of the men came up to me afterwards and told me how, because AA had worked for them and they had never heard of DA, they were interested. Were there meetings in the area? And I was happy to inform them that another fellow and I had started a meeting in that neighborhood. So we are very fortunate that there are a number of Brooklyn meetings, all of which are online currently. So that's why I'm passionate about HIP, from these personal experiences. And I just want to make a note that, well, I'm going to be able to talk to the people at the Brooklyn hospitals. There are about 14 of them. Now that they are receptive and that the restrictions are being lifted, I can bring them literature, I can talk to them, I can tell them what's going on. And it's not just for the clients, it's also for the staff. No one has heard of DA practically. And so having the information available, letting the human resources person, the EAP person, the chaplain, the advocate, the ombudsman, all of these people know that DA is a solution and that it's free based on a spiritual program has been very welcome. And pre-pandemic, I had a couple of very good contacts.
You have one more minute, okay?
Thank you. At the Brooklyn Borough President's office, the Brooklyn Borough President, who is now going to become the mayor of New York, did a Brooklyn and financial health, like in April, a number of years, and I realized that I wanted to be a part of that panel, and I contacted them, and the program person had never heard of DA. What is this like? She didn't even know about 12-step programs, so it was totally new to her. And I invited her to a meeting. I showed her literature and told her that there was another alternative that people should know about. And also working with bankruptcy judges. When I had to go to court and friends of mine had to go to court, there seemed to be no alternative except bankruptcy for some of them. And I'm not against bankruptcy. However, there is another way. So to be able to reach the bankruptcy courts and the judges and the people, the mediators, is a huge way to do DA outreach. Thank you so much.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, Shauna. That was great. Our next speaker is Beverly, and she's in the New Jersey area, and she will talk to us for 5 minutes about her experience strengthening up with HIP. Take it away, Beverly.
Thank you, Roger. Well, my name is Beverly, as he said, and I'm a grateful debtor recovering in DA. And I came into DA in 2013 at the behest of a therapist who prescribed DA to me to get my husband to stop debting. Clearly, she didn't quite understand how 12-step programs work, but nonetheless, I paid attention to her. Our situation had been that we paid off our credit cards twice, but we were well on our way to matching those numbers again. And I had had my first panic attack brought on by money discussions and debt. So I realized that my situation was affecting me physically. This therapist sent me also to a psychiatrist who prescribed medication for what he called circumstantial anxiety. which he believed would subside once my husband stopped overspending. So had I been less anxious about this spending, I would have realized that the therapist didn't have a clear understanding, but I followed her advice and attended my first DA meeting. I didn't know that Debt-A-Non existed at that time. I didn't learn about it till 2019. For some period of time, I did just that. I went for, because my husband thought it would be a good idea for me to go and learn what to do. So we should have known better because both of us had been involved in other 12-step programs, but it took some time for me to recognize and accept the fact that I was indeed trying to change somebody else. Intellectually, I knew I couldn't, but emotionally, I was still not truly convinced. When we grew another five-figure debt for the third time, I finally recognized that I would never change him or convince him to change. I also realized that I would never be solvent or out of debt while I was married to him. So after much 12-step work, which involved many conversations with my higher power, my sponsor, my pressure relief group, I divorced him after many years of marriage. It took me many months before I could introduce myself as I'm Beverly, a debtor. However, during the time between my joining DA and my divorce, I realized I had my own issues about money. I saw that mine centered on fear of spending, of deprivation, and ultimately of becoming a bag lady. I also realized that I colluded in amassing debt by giving in and giving up when dealing with money during our marriage. Without DA, I would probably still be blaming him for all of the money issues. Today, I'm solvent, debt-free, medication-free, and content, thanks to working the program with DA. So I still feel anxious when I have to lay out large sums of money. I thank God for my pressure relief group members who remind me constantly that there is enough. This is my third year serving on the HIP committee. The reason I got involved because I was in a prison that had a drug rehab within the prison wall. And when I introduced DA to the inmates there, they said, oh, that's a thing. So that told me that there was a great need for dissemination of information about DA. So while this year made in-person meetings almost impossible, so much of my work has centered around making contact with organizations through phone calls, emails, and mailings. Initially, I called national organizations such as Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the New Jersey chapter of the National Council on Alcoholism and Other Drug Dependencies. They did not know about DA, oddly enough, and to try to get literature included on their website. I contacted a lot of different kinds of organizations, treatment centers, individual therapists, Montclair University College Counseling Center, Bergen County Mental Health, Valley Health System, Bergen County Jail, Otisville Prison in Otisville, New York, and Progressive Prison Ministries in Greenwich, Connecticut. I also arranged for a Zoom presentation through a Wellness Wednesday program instituted during the pandemic to provide some personal connection and information about ways to cope. This program is a joint collaboration among Valley Hospital, Bergen County Mental Health, and Westside Presbyterian Church. There was an explanation about DA, which was followed by three DA speakers.
Less than a minute.
Thank you. I'm hopeful that with more in-person capability this year, I will be able to deliver DA literature in person and to have a conversation about who and what our fellowship is all about. I'm very excited about the prospect of following up with many of these people with whom I hope I have planted seeds and begin to water and nourish them. So thank you.
Okay, that was Beverly. Thank you, Beverly. That was awesome. We have two more speakers. Next is Elizabeth from San Francisco. And Elizabeth, you go ahead and star six and take it away.
Hello, everyone. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive debtor and spender and very prosperous business owner. So just a little about my story. I first came to DA in 1989. I had a really hard time accepting that I had to go to any length in this program, another 12-step program. I often said, gave me my life back, but DA gave me a life worth living. But it took me until November 11th, 1993, to stop incurring unsecured debt. I wasn't done. I needed to do some more research and rack up some more debt before I figured it out. Anyway, I have an incredibly prosperous life now. Unlike my previous life, before I had a sheriff tack on an auction notice on the house that that I was buying. I had people serve warrants at my work, et cetera, for debts that were unpaid. DA has given me every single one of DA's promises has come true in my life today, and I am just overwhelmed with gratitude for it. I was attracted to the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee because, well, I spent some time in two institutions and one jail, four jails. And I knew that what very often is helpful is the idea of hope being planted. And someone said to me, you picked the HIP committee, you know, no one's going anywhere in 2020. But I said, you know, I really thought of it as my job was planting a seed. And maybe I had to do the footwork and leave the results to God. So that has been my experience. So some of the things that I did, I also tried to reach out for contacts. I didn't have the same level of success as Laura did in terms of the hospitals. I had a really hard time getting a hold of anybody in the employee assistance program. I tried human resources departments, et cetera. But a friend of mine suggested that I try the chaplaincy program. So I was able to contact the person at Sutter Hospital that runs the chaplaincy program there and provided literature to them for regarding Debtors Anonymous to give people hope. Also provided information on Debtors Anonymous to Family Promise. It's a nonprofit organization that finds shelter and eventual homes for homeless families. And I thought that in a period of my life when I was homeless, if someone had given me a lot of the tools, I don't know that I would have caught on about the spiritual solution, but the tools would certainly have been a good start. Also provided DA literature to a member of the disciplinary committee of the California Board of Nursing. She works diversion programs, and those nurses that have debting issues could be provided the information. Also found 42 organizations that assist underserved populations in the greater San Francisco area and sent them the literature, and contacted the human resources departments of hospitals in Sacramento and San Francisco. Was not able to reach them, but I'm tenacious, so I will keep trying to reach them. I think this work is incredibly powerful.
1 minute.
Thank you, Laura. I think this work is incredibly powerful, and as what my experience has been is that doing service helps me. I'm very self-centered, and my life gets better with service. I know the business I had took off the year that I worked on the I co-chaired the Sacramento host committee for the World Service Conference in Sacramento in 2004, and my business just—I can't even believe it. I took 2 weeks off, and just the business just kind of fell into my lap after that. So the more somebody else already said it, the more I give, the more I get back. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope that something I said will attract, or something we've said will attract someone to this group. Thank you.
Great. Okay, thanks, Elizabeth. So now you've heard from all the committee members. I wanted to take a few minutes and talk a little bit, and I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Roger. I'm a debtor, and I chaired this committee this year. I've been the HIP committee all 3 years, and I was drawn to DA because I could not manage my debt, and I was at times constantly, I mean, at times I was afraid that I might end up in prison. I didn't really have time to verify if that was a thing anymore. People said, oh, they don't have desert debtors prisons anymore. But, you know, I didn't know. I was just kind of in fear. I had done some work for kids in prisons and jails, actually, and the learning that
it's kind of hard to hear you, Roger. You're coming in and out.
Whoa, thanks. Okay. How's this? Is this better?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Much better. Thank you.
Thank you. So I had some experience with kids in jail, and I thought, you know, wow, if they had DA when they were coming out of that, that they might be able to hold some stuff together. So that's my motivation. I thought HIP work is also 12-step work. And that's important to me because I realized that you have to give it away in order to keep it. The more you give it away, the more it reinforces the principles in your own lifestyle. Like if you've done a PRG for somebody and you realize you're telling them things that you expect them to live up to, then now you have to live up to it too. So I worked in the HIP for the last 3 years. Before COVID, we had made a major inroad into a local jail here in Los Angeles. And we did a couple of panels in there. And that was pretty dicey because, you know, the time slot that we had to go in, if there happened to be fight on the floor during that time, well, we weren't allowed to go in, so we might be waiting to go in there for an hour and then get up there and find out you can't go, and then we can't go for that month. So it's a kind of work that involves a certain amount of patience and a lot of letting go. It's a lot of putting things out there and then letting God take over. But I did find that in the one panel that I was able to do before COVID hit, that there was a real need for the principles and the spiritual aspect of Debtors Anonymous in a jail. For some of them, it would have kept them out of jail in the first place. For others, it's kind of like, well, they're not going to be there that long, so what do they do when they get out? How do they keep it going? So my focus in HIP for this last year was working, trying to find and connect with people in reentry programs, and that included Homeboy Industries and a couple others, which will be in our final report. But you know, the experience of working with a committee and constantly every month saying what have you been able to do is always
1 minute.
Oh, great, thanks. Given ideas to the rest of us as far as how we can share some inroads. I'd say now that things are, you know, in the past we have ways of sharing with people. We have literature. We can bring in a meeting. And we can just send in some flyers and things like that. All these things are documented in our HIP starter kit, which is available on the DA website. And I suggest you read that and possibly the public information committee, the public information kit. And that gives you some ideas of how we are attracting people by putting the word out there and then letting go, as opposed to promoting it and trying to get people to show up. Just letting people know it's there. Thank you. So that is our committee. You've heard all of us speak, and I got to say that as chair of the committee, it's been just an awesome experience to work with such great, dedicated people. Now is stop the recording and open it up for anybody else who wishes to ask some questions, and you can direct your question to any of the speakers, put it out there, and one of us will answer. So with that, I'll stop the recording.